You know, one of the things that I tell younger people involved in ministry, especially men, is that your family is your proving ground.
Yeah, I love it. Like First Timothy. Yeah.
Yes, that family is that proving ground that will determine whether or not you're even qualified to be involved in ministry. Again, you just quoted Pastor Mark, 1 Timothy chapter 3. He says, if a man cannot rule his family well, how can he rule the house of God? And so that family, that testing ground at home, continues to be that major challenge in so many of our lives.
Welcome to the Stream Roots Podcast, where you'll learn how God's unchanging truth can be applied in our ever-changing world. Through conversations with pastors and ministry leaders, you'll be encouraged, equipped, and challenged in your walk with Christ. Stream Roots is designed for pastors and leaders in the church, but is helpful for all people. And now your host, Pastor Mark Pospisil.
So glad to have you join us for this episode on Lessons from 40 Years of Urban Ministry in Detroit. With me is my friend and producer of Streamroots, the John Blosser. John, welcome.
Hey, Mark. Good to be here, buddy.
What's happening with you?
Oh, nothing. Just getting over a cold. I've been coaching my son's flag football team, and it was really cold on Saturday. So, nice. A little bit of a fever and feeling fine now. But
good. I'm glad you're not going to get me sick.
We'll see. Time will tell.
We got Thanksgiving coming up here. So excited about that.
Favorite holiday, man.
Oh, yeah. One of mine as well. So today we have a special guest for this episode. Joining us is Pastor Greg Alexander from Rosedale Baptist Church. He's not only a friend of mine, but an amazing man of God who is incredibly fruitful, even in old age. Pastor Greg, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, first of all, let me thank you for calling me an old man.
I was going to say, thank you for calling him out on that.
Well, older. I said older, man.
That's not what I heard.
My name is Greg Alexander, or Pastor Alexander. I'm a lifelong resident of Detroit. I've been in ministry in the city now for about 40 years. The husband of one wife, married for 52 years. Today is my bride's birthday, and so happy birthday to her.
Happy birthday, and Penny.
Happy birthday, Penny.
I have two children, two daughters, and I have five grandchildren.
Ah, love it. And tell us a little bit about your church.
All right. The name of the church is Rosedale Park Baptist Church. It's a church that we've been in existence now for just short of 40 years. Was started by the founding pastors, my brother-in-law, Haman Cross Jr. Him and I grew up together, so we've known each other all of our lives. And we grew up in the church together. Our families are still very, very close. But just short of 40 years ago, it was laid upon Pastor Cross or Haman's heart to start a church in the city. Again, we grew up in the church, and we both were products of the 60s. And so we had a little bit of that rebellious spirit in us. We wanted to do church a little bit differently from church as we had seen it. And so starting a church from scratch gave us the opportunity to do that. So we have pastored together almost since the very beginning. He retired about 3 years ago, and I said I would stay on and continue to put some things in order so that we can turn it over to this next generation. So I'm 3 years into that, so I'm looking forward to retiring in the next couple of years.
Now, I've known you for a little time here, and since I've known you, you've always talked about retiring in the next couple of years. So we'll see if that's going to happen or not, but we'll see, huh? We'll see. We'll find out. Well, thank you, Pastor Greg, again, for being here. I have such a great respect for you, and I think you're going to have just so much wisdom to share with us of lessons learned and things that we can take heart to heart and to help people and pastors all over the country, everyone who's listening or ministry workers or leaders, whoever's tuning in right now. So what I want to do is I want to open our discussion by reading from God's word from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. And this is what God's word says. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. These are some of the Apostle Paul's last words. He served the Lord and kept the faith until the end. The book of 2 Timothy is his final encouragement and challenge for his young disciple. Paul has had much wisdom to share, but his focus is on keeping the faith in charge of sharing the gospel of Christ. There were many lessons that Paul shares with Timothy in this book about ministry. Sometimes it will be hard. Sometimes people will desert you, even your closest friends. Things will be challenging. But through them all, Jesus is worth it. He will always stand by you and never leave you, and heaven is the reward to come. So whatever sacrifice God has called us to make, it's all worth it in the end. It is very important to hear from older and wiser servants of the Lord, like the Apostle Paul to Timothy. And this is why Pastor Greg is joining us here to share lessons from over 40 years of ministry in Detroit. How can we be fruitful in all seasons? How can we persevere through challenges and difficulties that will come with ministry? What are ways to stay in the fight for the long haul? We're going to answer these questions and more on this episode of Stream Roots. So Pastor Greg, how has 40 years of urban ministry in Detroit, what has that taught you and how has that shaped you?
Well, there's a couple of things I would say, but first let me go back and comment on the passage that you just read, because that is a passage that's very dear to me. And in that passage in 2 Timothy, what Paul said, one of the things that Paul says is that I have finished. I have finished all that. I fought a good fight. I kept the course. I finished the work that God had given me to do. And I like to think of that in this light, that in order to be able to finish what God has called us to do, you have to first of all know exactly what that is. And I believe that should be the testimony of every Christian at the end of our lives. I certainly want that to be my testimony, that I've remained faithful, but also that I finished the work that God has given for me to do. And so that brings me around to the ideal of having purpose, and our purpose should be very, very clear. Paul could not have said, I finished, had he not had a clear understanding of what it was that he was supposed to do. And we have the instruction given to Paul, found right there at his conversion in Acts chapter 9. He was told from the very beginning what he was supposed to do. So I believe that Paul looks back over his life now as an old man, and he's able to check off each one of those items. The very thing that God has told me to do are the very things that I have accomplished. And so that's what I want to be. I want to be my testimony at the end of my life, that not only have I been faithful and delivering the gospel, but that I finished every detail, every item that God has given for me to do. Mm. Now, having said that, you know, what I'm about to say now may in some ways even seem a bit contradictory. Because when I'm asked the question, what has 40 years of urban ministry in Detroit taught you? One of the things that has taught me is that God thinks very differently from how we think. And understanding that, we have to hold on to our ideas, hold on to our plans, our dreams in ministry very, very loosely. In my devotional, every morning I try to read My Utmost from His Highest by Oswald Chambers. And in one of his devotionals, he makes a reference to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, where it says that Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. And then when Chamber gives a commentary on this verse, what he says is that there is no logical answer possible when anyone asks you, what are your ministry plans? That is completely left up to God. And so he says, he emphasizes this ideal of Abraham going out without any knowledge of where he was going. God said, you just start this, you start this journey, and as we walk along, you'll discover who I am. And so when I think about it, and then when I look back over my life and even considering this question, part of my testimony is for years, even though I was raised in a Christian home, and it's very clear in my mind that I was called to ministry when I was 13 years old. Actually, Pastor Cross and myself both, we were at a Christian camp together, and both of us acknowledged God's call on our lives to be involved in some way in ministry. But as I grew older into my later teenage years, ministry did not look attractive to me at all. The streets of Detroit looked far more attractive to me than ministry. And so from my later teen years on into my 30s, I lived a life completely away from God, doing everything basically that goes on in the streets. But that call on my life was still there. And so when it is said of the prodigal son, when I came to the end of myself and I came back to the Lord and I rededicated my life to him and I committed myself to doing whatever it is that he would want me to do, I had no idea what that would mean. In fact, one of the guys that was discipling me at the time, he asked me the question, what would you like to do in ministry? And then he said, would you like to start your own ministry? Would you like to pastor a church? What is it that you would like to do? And I found that question to be strange. I still find that question to be strange. And I remember my response. My response to him was, I don't have any plans. I don't have any ambitions. I simply want to do whatever it is that God has told me to do. And so without any ambition, I just, this life that I've lived for the last 10, 12 years has been so miserable that anything that God would ask me to do has to be better than how I've been living for these last years. And so from the very beginning, my focus was simply on doing whatever it was that God wanted me to do. And I had no idea where that would take me. I'm not even sure that I had any idea of what that actually meant. But when I look back over it, it's very clear to me that God thinks very, very differently from how I think.
So all those experiences there, you never obviously envisioned, you never went out thinking I'm going to do this at the beginning, but you just trusted that wherever the Lord leads you, you're going to continue to go and by faith. Would that be a good way to say that?
Yes, it would be. I had an idea because my earliest years of ministry was involved with working with young boys off the streets of Detroit. And when I got involved doing that, I enjoyed it and I loved it so much that I thought that that even at this age that I am now, that I would still be doing that. That's all I ever wanted to do, was just work with kids off the street. I never wanted to pastor a church. I never wanted to be a reverend. I never wanted any of those things. My joy and my fulfillment came with just working with these kids off the street. But God had plans, different plans for life.
It's amazing how, you know, our past experiences, especially, you know, apart from God, shapes, you know, what we do in ministry. I had a very, very similar experience to you, Pastor Greg, except that, you know, my calling, I guess you could say, especially from a young age, was to work with young musicians within a church. And to keep them from making, you know, similar mistakes that I made. But if I didn't make those mistakes, if God didn't have, you know, that path for me, then I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't be passionate about, you know, serving in the ways that I am now. So praise God for all of that.
Yes. Even those in agreement with what you're saying, even those years that I lived such a wayward life, I had no idea that God was using that to prepare me for what I would be doing when I got involved in ministry. Because Amen. In working with these young boys off the street, I could relate to them because I've lived their life for so many years.
Yes. Amen.
Love it. Love it. Okay. So any other things that so many years of ministry have taught you?
I guess, you know, I would be a poor student if I hadn't learned more than just that one thing.
Well, main thing, main thing here. So.
But I'll tell you the main thing. You know, as I said, I grew up in a Christian home, and both of my parents were devout Christians. But my dad was very honest as well. Even though he was an officer in the church, I'd heard him say on more than one occasion that he struggled loving people, and that had to do with his background growing up as an orphan kid, and so he really struggled with loving people. So when I gave my life back to the Lord and I committed to myself to doing whatever it is that He would want me to do, the first thing I had to admit is that, Lord, I don't love people. I'm just like my dad. I don't love people. And so if I'm going to be involved in your service, then you must change my heart. You must change my heart so that I will love people the same way you love people. And I still remember the day that I came to my wife and I sat her down on the sofa in our living room and I told her, God has changed my heart. God has given me a love for people. So without a love for people, it is impossible even to serve God. That's what I believe.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm going to share a little story about you. You didn't know about this. It's not in the show notes.
So, my approval first.
I can't do that. I'm sorry. But 7 years ago, we first met, and you were an elder at the church I'm currently at, and you were an intern pastor. And you were serving faithfully. And so I started actually 7 years ago, almost to the date. And I remember my first week we went out and we hung out and we spent some good time together. But you came into my office and you sat down and you were in ministry longer than I was alive. And you said, hey, I want you to know that I fully support you and whatever you want to do, I'll be on board with that. And so, I'm here temporary, but I'm here to support you. And, as an older man who's got so much experience, so much wisdom, so much strength, you're one of the most humble guys I've ever met. And so that meant the world to me. And it instantly got all of my respect. And it's true. And so one of the things I've taken from just that moment is it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Christ. And we want to just serve God. And through what He's called us to do and the people around us, not to make a name for ourselves like the Tower of Babel, but to make a name for Christ, right? So I can see that from all of your, at least as an observer, that was one of my favorite interactions we first had with each other. So,
wow. Thank you. Thank you for that, Mark.
Okay, let's go on to a harder question here. So what about this? What were some of the challenges you faced? Because ministry's hard. Like 2 Timothy finishes with Paul. It's kind of almost sad a little bit. You know, his friends have deserted him. If you read the rest of 2 Timothy 4, he says, everyone actually deserted me. And but it may not be counted against them because the Lord stood by my side. What are some of the challenges you faced in ministry, and how did God persevere you through those?
Well, let me go back to when I was still working in youth ministry. Because that was my passion, and it still is my passion, actually, even though I'm a pastor of a church now, but that still is my passion. But my life verse is found in James 1:27, where he says, true or pure religion, undefiled before God, is this, to be involved in the lives of the fatherless and the widows. And my understanding of that verse is kind of like directed my earliest years of ministry, that working with these guys off the street, that I had to make the commitment to be involved in their lives on a full-time basis. when I think of the term discipleship, and I look at the example of Jesus Christ with the 12, there was rarely a time that he was not, that he was away from them. It was a 24-hour job. And that's kind of how I view discipleship. Discipleship cannot take place in a classroom. It takes place throughout the day. It takes place, you know, when you're sitting down, I think it's Deuteronomy chapter 6. It takes place 24 hours a day. And so that's how I understood discipleship. I literally had to become fathers to these young men that I was discipling. And again, to answer the question of the challenge continues to be to get others, even members of our own church, to see discipleship in that light. That discipleship requires a time commitment. And most of us, or too many of us, lead lives that are far too busy to be engaged in discipleship. And so the church is not as strong as it could be or should be because of that which is lacking there. And that's, that continues to be even even in our ministry right now. I believe that our church could do a lot better in terms of discipleship in the community where God has placed us. So that has been a major, major challenge, getting people to see and understand what discipleship actually is.
Okay. Yeah, that's a challenge for all generations. What other challenges have you taken, you know, from ministry and even personally that you had to persevere through?
Well, again, you know, one, and I find this, it appears to be even a problem that I see in scripture. One of the problems continues to be balancing ministry with family. You know, I saw that growing up in the church. I know of many stories, tragic stories, where because there was not that balance there, that, you know, you had church kids going astray. And I vowed that I would never, ever allow that to happen in my own personal life and family in terms of being involved in ministry. But it continues to be a challenge. How do you balance that so that you don't shortchange the family, but at the same time, you understand that your first calling is to what God has called you to do? And so that's the challenge that, and I'm pretty sure would be the challenge that most of us continue to face. You know, one of the things that I tell younger people involved in ministry, especially men, is that your family is your proving ground.
Yeah, I love it. Like First Timothy. Yeah.
Yes, that family is that proving ground that will determine whether or not you're even qualified to be involved in ministry. Again, you just quoted Pastor Mark, 1 Timothy chapter 3. He says, if a man cannot rule his family well, how can he rule the house of God? And so that family, that testing ground at home, continues to be that major challenge in so many of our lives.
Yeah. How do you balance that well?
One, by being mindful of it. One, by being mindful of it. And then I'll tell you a true story as well. When one of my daughters became pregnant when she was 17 years old. And I remember thinking that if a father, particularly with his daughters, if a father would just put his daughters first, they would never have reason to look for love outside the home. That was a false view that I had. But when my daughter became pregnant, it wasn't an embarrassment to me. It was more of confusion for me because I didn't understand it. And there's a letter that I carry around with me to this day that my daughter wrote me. And one of the things that she said is that, Dad, you know, we've always been so close, but it got to a point where you got too involved in ministry and you forgot about me. I carry that letter with me to this day. And that was over 20 some years ago. Mm. Remind me of the importance of putting family first. So that when you ask, how do I deal with it? By being mindful of it. By being mindful of it. Now there's things that I do, even like with my wife now, there's dates or outings that we plan. But even with that, it can be a challenge because oftentimes my wife will say, you know, you're only doing this because this is on the schedule.
Lose.
you're here in body, but your mind is off someplace else. And, you know, I deny it. That's not true. But more often than not, it is true. It is true. And so that's a challenge. That's a challenge that I see in many of the patriarchs of the scriptures. It's a challenge that we will continue to face.
Okay, nice. Love it. Yeah, those are challenges that you have to, again, be mindful of it, plan, prepare, always checking in. You know, I always want to check in with my wife. And when I first started in ministry years ago, there was a pastor I used to listen to, but it stopped. And I want to, but he strongly just emphasized, if you're going into ministry, make sure that you pastor your family first. You know, a church can get a new pastor. Your family can't get a new dad or a new husband. And this is with the first ministry that God's called you for, right? First crisis, first then family, then church. Don't ever mix up that order or you're going to mess up your ministry. And so being mindful of that, planning those things, obviously be able to say no. I've heard it said before, when you say yes to something, it means you're saying no to something else. And so it was just getting that good way of being fruitful, faithful, but not disregarding the first primary ministry that God's called you to, which is your family.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And
go ahead.
Go ahead. All right.
I'm listening to you.
Oh, okay. And like I said, it you know, even being aware of it in my earlier years of ministry, when I was working with all these guys, you know, and I realized that my involvement with them could very easily cause me to be neglectful of my daughters. And so I always tried to incorporate my daughters into any kind of activities I was involved in with my guys. I always included my daughters. They were the guys that I discipled, they looked at my daughters as their sisters. And they treated them as sisters. And my daughters, even to this day, call those guys their brothers. Hmm. But I discovered that even with that my daughters felt a little bit neglected. They were in some ways jealous of the boys that I now call my sons, because they still felt as though my involvement with them was taking something away from my girls. So it's a tremendous challenge to try to balance those things.
Yes. Yeah. That's a challenge we have to do well with under God's wisdom. So,
Yeah, that's definitely a concern that I have in ministry. I mean, I'm a father of three now, and you know, there's a lot of discipleship opportunities, but you know, keeping family first has got to be our priority.
Yes. Yes.
All right, let me look at this question here. How can you encourage younger pastors and ministry leaders and leaders to remain faithful and fruitful in ministry? What would be like your thing? The way how can you can encourage them to remain faithful and fruitful?
One thing I would say, there's a principle that I see in Scripture. And I call it the principle of waiting, which is oftentimes is very difficult for younger people to do, because they the Bible says that God calls the young because they're strong, they're energetic, they got a lot they want to accomplish. They want to do things. But there's this principle in scripture of waiting. When I look at the life of Abraham, I look at the life of Joseph, I look at the life of David, God called these, even Daniel, God called these young men when they were very young, but they don't actually fulfill their ministry duties until they're much older. And there's a waiting period. When I was first, one of the earlier guys that discipled me, he explained this to me, that there's this waiting period where God is testing you for greater things. And can you pass this waiting period? The other thing I remember him telling me, there's things in your life right now that God wants to get out of your life. So there's this period of waiting. When I look at, like in our church now on Wednesdays, we're studying the life of David. David was called to be king at a young age, but he doesn't sit on the throne until many, many years later. And all those trials that David went through was to teach him how to be a man after God's own heart. It was to teach him that there's things in your life. You know, one of the things I say is that David sinned with Bathsheba. If there was any sin that was predictable, that was a predictable sin. Because what I see in David's earlier life, he had a problem with women from the very beginning. And I believe God was saying to him, David, if you're going to be the king that I want you to be, that I need you to be, you got to get this thing under control. And so part of this waiting period between the time he was called and the time he actually sits on the throne was for God to get that stuff out of him. I look back over my life, and there's things that it's very clear to me that God was wanting to get out of my life so that I could be more effective in ministry, even today as a 73-year-old. And so, but it's so hard to, when you got all this energy, to understand that there's a purpose why God has us waiting. Isaiah chapter 40, where Isaiah says, those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But then I look at the other example, and King Saul lost the kingdom because he couldn't wait. He says the people were pressing him, and so he violated one of the instructions that he had been given. And God says, because you could not wait, you have lost the kingdom. And so this principle of waiting, I believe is a principle, especially for young people, that they need to really lay hold to. The Bible says that a man's gifts will indeed make room for him and bring him before kings. God has his own timetables. And for all the time that he has me waiting, it's because he's working some things out, and he's working some things out of my life so that I can become the person that he really wants me to be. And so if there's one principle that I could pass on to this younger generation, is understanding this principle that I see throughout the scripture, this principle of waiting, even with the Apostle Paul. In his early conversion years, the Bible says he was sent back home, and he's not heard from for the next 13, 14 years because of this principle of waiting. There were some things he had to learn about God. There were some things Moses had to learn about God that took 40 years for him to learn those things. And so if there's one that I would place almost at the top of the list, is understanding this principle of waiting.
Mm. Yeah, I love it. I was going to ask you, what would be your top lesson to share with other leaders? And I think that's it. Wait on the Lord. Yeah.
That's it. That's it.
I love it. Yeah, that's how to be fruitful, faithful. Wait on the Lord. Act in faith, but wait on the Lord. Don't get too far. Don't get ahead. Don't fall behind. Yeah. Wait on God.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
All right, great. Hey, Pastor Greg, thank you for your time and insight. Any good resources you could recommend for our listeners?
You know, there's a book that probably has impacted my life, maybe more than any other single book that I've read. It's by an old guy now, Mark, Pastor Mark, Alan Redpath, and he wrote a book titled "Victorious Christian Service."
All right, I don't know if I ever read that one.
It's I'll get you a copy. "Victorious Christian Service" by Alan Redpath. It's probably impacted my life more than any other single book that I've ever read.
Oh, nice. And by, what was the guy's name again? Alan what?
Redpath.
Alan. A-L-A-N. Redpath. R-E-D-P-A-T-H.
Got it. Love it. Okay. Great. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever heard of that one. All right. But I'm looking forward to reading it.
There it is.
All right. I'll be my gift to you, man.
I should give you a gift for being on. All right. Well, great. Thanks, Pastor Greg, for being here. Appreciate your insight, your wisdom, for taking the time to encourage us. I want to sign off here. Stream Roots is a production of Barnabas Ministries. You can learn more at barnabasministriesmi.org. That's barnabasministriesmi.org. If you find this podcast helpful, we encourage you to subscribe and also leave a review and rate our podcast. Maybe even tell a friend. It allows us to get God's word out to more and more people, and we'd be grateful if you did. We release an episode every Monday morning. Stream Roots, drawing deep from the living water of God's word.